Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, may we each serve your plan and your purpose, as well as have ears to hear your will. In Jesus' name, amen. There are so many compassionate and decent people all around us in this world. There is so much goodness all around us. I am thankful and grateful for it. And these good things are what we want to pay the most attention to. As we notice how many people there are who are actively helping each other, lots of goodness. I do also remember when I was young, I had a busy work schedule. I was in the Bay Area. At once I regretted not being able to stop for a woman who had two children with her. She was by the side of the road. She looked okay, but I still felt sorry for her having a trouble. But I remember I couldn't stop. I was on a schedule. So if that is your case, if you can't stop, I hope you remember to have a prayer. Say one over the situation at that moment. We can each have so much in our life to deal with that we can be often overwhelmed. That is a hard place to be when we cannot even take a step back for a few minutes to think. It's better to deal with a situation using thought than it is with just using your feelings, especially when we're overwhelmed. Sometimes we will forget to think, and instead we respond with our feelings. It's a better idea to think about things. Sometimes you may have to take a moment to think, maybe step away for a moment, maybe to get a sip of water or to use the bathroom or make a trip to the store. Just take a little break, step away for a moment, and take that moment to see what it is your thoughts develop into. Probably it's always better to take a moment before you make a decision. And, of course, you will want to have a little prayer in that moment. Ask for guidance and the willingness to yield to God's will, and, of course, to hear it before you make that decision. I do have a sense that we as the American people are making decisions right now about our future. We see things right in front of us, and we have an ability to respond and an ability to vote. And we, the people, are the ones who are supposed to be making the decisions. As much as possible, we want to be the ones who are making the decisions and not give up our authority to our political leaders. Even if they're wise, it is still our decisions, and it's better for us to make them whenever we can. Whenever we can, let's make them, when it's right and legal, to make those decisions. We want to make sure that we have these righteous decisions being made by us, because we have the biggest, we're affected by them the most in our lives, in our children's lives, in our grandchildren's lives. Yeah, we need to make good and righteous decisions. Certainly these days there are money issues, all the way through our society, and certainly with us personally, certainly with our government. And all these things it is better to examine and to decide and figure out how they are to be dealt with before some kind of a problem arises. We can always respond to our representatives by letters, and I think that that's a very good way of doing it. Letters seem to be counted the most. Of course, it's always also available to make a phone call or one of those message systems, email or tweet, I hear. But the letters seem to make the most difference, and it's a good idea for us to put our view forth to those representatives of ours and say something. Recently, I heard that Congress has defunded the EMP Commission, the Congressional EMP Commission. That's effective October 1st. And what a timing, I thought when I heard that, right when the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un, did just about a week ago say in a very threatening manner that North Korea was had missiles which could reach all parts of the continental United States. He had these ICBMs, he says. Does he? Don't know. But he does have something. And whatever the situation is, well, it's better to know about it and do something about it, as best we know how. Now, on one hand, I can look at his missiles and his military and say, I don't understand how they could even get through our United States defenses. I just can't see it. We have a good military. We've spent plenty of money on it with advances in training and in technology. How could even missiles get through? I don't know. I don't think so. And then I think, well, I don't understand this part of it either. How could in the last 5 months those several, was it three U.S. Navy ships? They were destroyers, and they were disabled because they had a collision with another ship. Remember, in one case, it was an oil tanker, and they put holes right into our Navy destroyers. So how could this have happened? I don't know. I don't get it. I really don't get it. But something happened. And so I suppose that some missiles from North Korea, that those ICBMs could make it to mainland United States. Don't understand how. I just don't. But I know things happen that are surprises. The other thing I always pay attention to, at least in the back of my thoughts, is that there are two North Korean satellites that go over our country every single day. Every single day, two North Korean satellites, and we don't know what is on them. It's just an unknown. There is speculation, or suspicion, I guess you could say, that there are some optimized and minimized EMP generating nuclear weapons on those satellites. Apparently, they got them from some other country, and they put them on the missiles, the satellites that were launched for the purpose of serving North Korea. There's a lot of things we don't know. North Korea is a very secretive country, and it's no surprise that we don't know what was on those satellites. And there's a lot of things we just don't know. We don't know that there's movements going on between governments that we would do well to pay attention to, but what they are, that's a whole nother question. But we know that there's different forces moving between countries, and not for the good either. So I know I have looked at that leader, Kim Jong-un, the North Korean leader, and I have observed how he stands and presents himself during these crises, the conflicts that are now coming about. And I have noticed that his stance is not one of fear. He looks to have a rather strong body stance, like he has something that's backing him up. He doesn't seem to be afraid of the United States military. So I don't understand how he could not have that fear. Is his ego so big? It might be. But whatever the situation is, it's good to pay attention to it. I do wonder what really is going on. It's a question. Now, I know that most people don't have a chance to look at the different things, the different pieces of information, the things that are available for us to see and to understand and study. No, most people don't see that. And most people don't want to look at the trouble sides that somehow get put before me. I think it's kind of interesting that they do. because I see these things. I see that there's potential troubles. And we don't want to ignore the beautiful parts of life, that's for sure. There's lots of beauty in life, and we should pay attention to it and really enjoy the beauty of life and all the things that are wonderful in life. Oh, yes, we should. But I think we should also look at those potential areas of trouble. There's a few, and we don't have to look at them and stay with our concerns. No, look at them and then get on to the next thing. But because there are these days and we do see things that are occurring, I do like to point them out because I think there are threats to us. I think we should supposed to look and we're supposed to learn. Because when the situations in life changes, we are supposed to look and learn and maybe change our behavior. Sure. Change our habits when it's appropriate. We don't just continue on doing the same thing we have been doing if there's an improvement. I know with my mother, when I was learning how to drive a long time ago, she would always leave the keys in the ignition. That was just the way it was for her. She always has done that. The years passed, and she's continued to do this. Her habit didn't change. Now, I learned after just a couple of years that I should not leave my keys in the ignition. It didn't take me that long. My father didn't do it, just my mother. My point is that if we don't learn new habits, well, we don't. The same ones continue. And I think we are better off learning. See, society had changed in that time. Lived in a society where everybody could be trusted. You could leave your doors open. You could leave your keys in the ignition. Nobody would take someone else's stuff because they knew better. Things have changed. And my point is that habits are hard to change. And we should look to see if there's any changes. Now, is there anything we should do to get prepared for a certain situation? It's possible. We should look at that just in case. The what-if situations. Oh, I think it's a good idea. I hope you do too. Sometimes we just have to look at the signals or indicators that something could occur. And I don't mean I know what it is, because I don't. I don't, but I see that there's lots of things in life, and we get accustomed to things changing, and we also should get used to having our indicators change as to what we should do or think about or anything like that. There's some things we should get new cautions about. Huh, like that North Korean problem. Is that a problem? I don't know. It could be. And certainly one of the things I think of is the people in the past. People who have said that they were prophets. Now I know that's a little interesting position to be in, to say that someone's a prophet. I think you take that with a little bit of caution, but like I have, I think you remember it and see if it fits in. And this man said, that was Dmitry Dudeman, and he said that North Korea would be one of the countries that would attack the United States. Is it true? I don't know, but I don't dismiss it. And it doesn't mean it'll happen this month or this year. Might be in 5 years or 10 years. Things can continue, or they can be quick and immediate. So there's things that I think we can pay attention to and just see if the situations are coming together to say, hey, pay a little more attention to this. And that's how I see the North Korea situation. Not with fear, but with a rational mind. Consider the possibilities and act in a way that you see to be appropriate. Certainly, we do not know what could happen. Well, I guess we do kind of know what could happen, but not if it will happen and not when it'll happen. So, there's two sides to every position. One is that things will continue just as they are and that they will never change. Another side is that, oh, it could happen tomorrow or next week or in 2 weeks, 10 weeks, 2 years, 10 years. I don't know the answer to that, and I don't know anyone who does. So when we are in such a danger of things having an immediate impact on our life, and a huge, huge impact, I think we should look and see, what if, and then take some reasonable and rational, well-thought-out steps. Your feelings are always suspect, because feelings can change and they can go to extremes. But if we know what our feelings are and we temper the feelings with our thoughts, now that, I think, is a good idea. For all the things that are going on in the world, we do want to pay attention to the spiritual side. Most certainly we do. And I think that the best way to preserve our religious and civil freedoms is to examine what the God of the Bible says. And if you can look at the themes, you can see that he wants his people to be free, and he wants his people to choose to worship him. So there's several lessons in the Bible. That's one of them. And I think another lesson, we can look over and over and see the words, "Be not deceived." Oh, that's for sure. Be not deceived. What a big, big point. And that's something which is big. Be not deceived. So there's wars, and there's rumors of wars coming to the world. And what that means, I suppose we will just have to wait for. Matthew 24. So it talks about those things. So we have all these things that are looking like they could just be coming about. And it's not that we know what trouble is coming. Well, we sort of do. Read Matthew 24. But the point is we've got things that we know are coming. And I say, look at that. From all the reading I've done, not in the Bible, but historical reading, and from the talking to people that I've done, and listening, of course, to the people, I've seen that there have been some really big historical events that have gone on. And we can make parallels to the things that are going on today. We can see that we are in the midst of something going on. Some kind of a situation seems to be ready to be happening. What it is, now that is the question. What is going to happen? But I know I have lots of Christians that I talk to, and more than a few of them are concerned with the way things are going. So as you study the things that are going on around you, you want to have some steps, you know what, for preparation, for the just-in-case situation. Because we know that things could come about to be a quick change for the worse. Not good stuff. So the most important part, I'd say, is your spiritual life. And that is your relationship with God, the God of the Bible, through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. That's the relationship that you want to focus on. So how is your relationship with God? How is your country's relationship with God? How is the world's relationship with God? Well, do you see that maybe a form of judgment, or at least consequences could come to us? Yeah, it's a pretty good question. All sorts of things could happen. And we think of the things that are often to do with men causing a problem. But we know very well that there's natural disasters that have happened. Look at the hurricanes, or you could look at earthquakes and fires. Sure, those are big ones too. We've even had volcanoes, 38 of them this year. Wow, that's that are active. That's a lot. So there are the things that are closer to our personal life. There are monthly bills that we have. Not just the economy of the country, but our own little personal economy. All these things are questions, and I think it only makes sense to see what are the things that could be happening. What could be happening? And then have some preparations for that just in case. I know that one of those things that could be happening is there's a computer site, Deagle.com, and this is one that military people seem to pay attention to or reference, and they talk about it being indicators that there's a change, a great big shift coming in the world. Certainly we don't know when, but we can look at other sources too. We can see there's the Georgia Guidestones. Sure, they're occultic, but they are still something that are pointing a direction. Or we can just look at Matthew 24. They point to a direction too. Matthew 24, now that is such a big, important chapter because it is what happens before Jesus returns. It's the sign of the end times. And what could happen? Well, it's pretty serious. To go back to that Deagle site, website, it says by 2025, doesn't say it exactly, but there's changes that it lists. And one of the things it talks about is the population of countries and their GDP, gross domestic product, and a few little things. But the point is, countries are tabulated and their population is spoken of in advance. Projected. And it's kind of a shocking thing. I do not understand why the United States would, by their projections, lose 80% of its population. You have to look that there are several things that are indicators for why a country would lose 80% of its population. Puzzling. It's a puzzling thing why they would have written that. Other countries of the world are continuing, but the United States has that huge loss of population. I know the Bible talks about famine. I know the Bible talks about earthquakes and more. Oh, there's some things that were pretty serious. So a few people talk about it and are serious in what do you do? What do you do? Yes. That is a big question, and I think you do what you can. You do something. Have some of those preparations around for that just-in-case situation. We want to help people. We want to help our own loved ones. So there's also talk by a certain scientific people that we are overdue for earthquakes, long overdue, like the Cascadia subduction zone, which it goes from California to Canada and a little bit of California and a little bit of Canada. Or, in other words, Oregon and Washington, they seem to have the longest part of the subduction zone where the continental plates come together. And what is talked about is that there will be the continents coming together are going to cause an earthquake and a tidal wave. And that happens on a regular basis. There's, they say every 300 years or 240 years, and it's been 300 years since the last one. So we do have things going on, and we have just about 200 years ago, there was the New Madrid earthquake fault. And that one, 200 years ago, it caused the Mississippi River to flow backwards for probably 2 days until the water backed up and out it went to the ocean. So we've got things going on. And so pay attention, I say. We can look at the Cascadia fault zone, subduction zone, and you can think of this, the what has happened in the past. I look at the Fukushima. I know it's not Fukushima, but it was so widely talked about as Fukushima. It's really called the Tohoku earthquake and tsunami. But I think we all recognize it as Fukushima because of the nuclear power plant problem. At any rate, that one killed 30,000 people in 2011. There are tsunamis, and that one, like I said, killed 30,000 people. It was a 9.0, and the Cascadia earthquake could be a 9.2. 9.2. This means, on a logarithmic scale, which it uses to describe the earthquake points, it would be twice as big as the Fukushima or Tohoku earthquake, just because those extra 2 points means it would approximately double. So we just have to be aware of these things. And you remember back there was a 2004 Indonesian earthquake and tsunami. Now that one, there were 240,000 people who lost their lives. And they say with the continuing problems that it caused, that not 240,000, but 280,000 people died. There are things that just happen. They are tragic. Tragic things do happen. There's been lots of things that have happened in the last 100 years. There have been earthquakes. There have been a big one. There have been floods, natural disasters. In 1931, there was a flood in China that killed at least 1 million people. The books say between 1 and 4 billion people. Million. 1 to 4 million people. And there were other natural disasters, too. And there was even one where this was in 1934. And the Chinese government was being invaded by Japan, and the military was coming in. China wanted to stop the military, so they let the waters of the Yellow River flood, and 800,000 people were drowned. Well, we have a history which things happen. Natural disasters happened. Man-caused disasters happened. Things happen. Death tolls are gigantic. And then even another factor in all this is what has happened with diseases, with plagues in the last centuries, the last 1,000 years, for instance. Oh, there have been so many people who have just succumbed to these problems. And yet we know when one child dies, when one family dies, it is a tragedy. So all these big things can still happen. Our life on earth is temporary, but our life in heaven is eternal. Or our life in hell is eternal too. So we want to have that right relationship with God today, right now, with Jesus Christ, through the relationship with God, through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. That's what we want as we live. And then as we live, we spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's really an important thing to do. We want that relationship with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. That could be a whole message. But it seems like I talk about these other things too. I think they're important. I think that we don't want to suffer, and we don't want the people around us to suffer. And so what do? We take preparedness steps. We do something to get prepared. Surely it is our spiritual life that is the most important. Yes, but we still want to continue life in a comfortable way. And so we have some security in life, and that usually means some form or another of preparations. Yeah. We want to focus on the good, that's for sure. But also realize that there are evil situations and evil people, and there's a spiritual evil that is certainly in a contest with the good of this world. So we want to stand for the good. We want to avoid difficulties, troubles, sure. I know I've certainly read about the evil in the world, and we don't want evil in the world. We don't want people to suffer. We want to have compassion on people. And we want to show our kindness and love in smart ways. Let's be wise about what we do, how we use our resources to show the goodness of God. Yeah, we sure do. And we don't want the evil in the world, and we do want the good of the world. But evil is still all around us, and so is good. I think in America we have more spiritual good than other parts of the world. I know I've been in other parts of the world, and I could recognize the spiritual evil in places. Yeah. And we just want to stand for the good. That's in its highest form, that is Jesus Christ. It is the God of the Bible and Jesus Christ. That is the highest form of good. And that's where we want to dwell. Yep. I know a few years back I was reading and I looked at a biblical book. I had never read the Bible, and there was a book in front of me that was one that seminary students read. I read that book and I found out, wow, there really are some really serious evil in the world. And I didn't realize that until the time. I didn't know how bad it could be. Every once in a while, I still get confronted with how bad certain situations are. It is brutal. It is just brutal how serious the things are around us. Full of difficulty. Full of evil. Oh, yes, and we don't want to have to do with that. No, we want to have to do with the good. That's where we want to dwell. With the love of God, definitely. With goodness. And so, we have to be prepared to pray, to have our spiritual relationship with God, and of course, to act and to have prayer, our prayer life. So we want to be faithful to follow Jesus Christ. Yes, examine good and evil in the world. I think that's a good thing to do. Examine it, but dwell on the goodness. Don't dwell on the badness. I know I talk about badness, but it's not where I dwell, and I'm not where you want to dwell either. It's just that let's be aware that there really is. That awareness can drive you to the goodness of God. So that's what I think is a good idea. Not the fairy tale goodness. Oh, there's a goodness. Let's see, they call that Pollyanna. It's a book by that name. And it's a character in a book who only looks at good things. And it's talking about a life that you don't look at anything bad. And that's called a Pollyanna personality. But the fact is, we have some troubled things around us. Difficulties. Yes, indeed. All sorts of things happen. And it's not that we look to be a part of it. We look to be separate and to drive us to God, drive us to Jesus, and let us represent Him in what we say, do, and of course think. Thinking is the beginning of it. We want to have our minds bathed in Christ. Yes, that's the way to say it. So our outlook, our positive outlook, is important. And yes, this is this is one of those things. We can be aware of the situations around us. Some people call it a real-world situation because they recognize that not everything is good, not everything of Christ or Christian. No, there are plenty of things that are problems, and what do we want to do? We want to focus on the good things, yes, but still be aware that there's bad things coming, or there could be. You know, the wise man sees evil coming and he gets out of its way. So that's what we should be aware of, the real world situations. I know I've heard it described as real world politics. And real world, what does that mean? That means where there is a struggle for one person or one country or one force to dominate another. And that domination is brutal. It is an absolute force to be reckoned with. Sometimes, in a polite way, it can be political. But in a conflict between countries, you know, in a military way, no, it's absolutely brutal. It is for the survival of one nation or another. It is for the enslavement of certain peoples. Enslavement? Yes, one way or another. And it can be through economic means to say, you're going to work for this country and you're going to supply its needs or supply its natural resources. Now, we're not familiar with that today, but that has been the way of the world for so long, for millennia, for centuries. Longer. So the thing is we can be aware of it and recognize both the freedoms and the wonderful life we have, and also realize that we don't want them to go away. And so we have to guard our freedoms, stand for righteousness. And that's what has happened so often in our military. We have had a Christian military, people who knew what was right and what was wrong and what they wanted. That's what I think we could renew today, that right mind and right heart and right actions. So there have been conflicts in life, in this country and between countries. I know that for 50 years I've heard of this being used in politics, where there was a gentle politician and a forceful politician, and there would be a political fight which went into the economic realm. And so that would be in a business way and in a personal way, where one opponent would go against another and attack mostly their economic basis. In other words, if there was an opponent to a political person, one would go against the other in an economic basis, and they would try to drive the other person out of business. Oh, yes. And sure, there are some politicians which you could call clean, where they didn't get involved in that dirty tactic. But there still were several who did, and it's simply something to be aware of, that in the world there are all sorts of people. There is both good and evil, and that is why we must look at the reality of things which we could face. Sure, pray about it. Sometimes we assume we're going to have to actually stand up. I mean, look, we have a military for that reason. We have police for that reason. Sometimes we, as a person or as a society, simply has to stand up against evil. We must oppose evil right in front of us, and as a country, too. So look, that's why I say we must look at reality, the reality of what is in this world and what is right in front of us. And of course, we have to pray Pray for guidance. Pray for eyes to see. Because there's evil all around us. That's always been a struggle. From the foundations of this country, there was a contest. There was a contest between people who wanted to have a monarchy, or let's say a one ruler, or to have a republic, a democracy, where the people rule. So I think prayer is so essential to this process that we must do it. We must pray for a spiritual life, a good life, a godly life. So we want our freedoms in a spiritual sense and in a physical sense and in a political sense. Yes, we want all those things, and we want our economy to continue. Our economy now, that's another subject. Woo! Economies go through cycles, and they go up and they go down. And our down cycle has been forecast for a couple of years now, and it just hasn't come. Will it come? Well, it's been the way it's been all through history, that the economy goes up and goes down, and we are just kind of waiting for a down cycle. So what does that mean? It means, here again, beware, look out, things can happen. We want to see in every way how we can be protected and not have hurt come to our homes and our personal life. On every level, we want to examine this. On every level, we want to be aware, because there's a darkness that wants to dominate us. That is, on every level that you can think of, we have things come into our head that we shouldn't think of. We have situations in front of us where we want to keep ourselves away from. Keep yourself clean and pure, like holy. That's the way we're supposed to want, and that's what God says in the Bible. So there is a question of our freedom. We want to maintain it. We want to have it prosper in freedom, and we want to make sure that we are not ensnared by the difficulties around us. And there's all sorts of difficulties there could be. Doesn't mean they're going to, but it means they could. And so we are aware of them. I know one of the things that from time to time gets talked about are FEMA camps. FEMA camps. Yes, it's a possibility. I think it's just something to be aware of. And FEMA camps could even be a good thing if we have a natural disaster and we need some food, and they say, come to our camp and we'll feed you, we'll give you a warm place to sleep. Sure, it's possible. It doesn't mean that there have to be troubled times there and difficulties or anything else. But we can look at history, and that's only prudent. Look at the things that have happened in history. There are people who have likened the FEMA camps to the United States internment camps of the World War II Japanese descent people. So they were forced to relocate into those internment camps during World War II. It was really a tragedy in our history. It's something that was a most not good part thing to have happened. And I don't know what it means today, but I know that in the last few years, there have been more than a few people talk about these FEMA camps and what they meant. I don't know what they mean, really, but it certainly is a concern, sort of, because in the last 2 years, I've heard that these FEMA camps are being prepared to be, well, now I hear they are fully staffed, with a skeleton, a minimum staff, but still staffed, 800 FEMA camps in the United States. And what does that mean? Yeah, no, I don't know. I wish I did. Well, maybe I wish I didn't. But the point is there's things going on that we don't know and we don't understand. And we can ask, about them, investigate it, see what it means, and certainly pray for our freedom. Pray for our righteousness, that we are able to live a life that is as a follower of Jesus Christ. So, yeah, you can ask about these things and question what I have to say too, because I really should say that I don't have proof of it. The way I learned is I hear and I talk to people or I hear things, and there it is right in front of me. And I don't know that I could prove it. I couldn't. But the repeated evidence, repeated conversations that go along the same lines makes me think that it is, in fact, a real situation, because the information doesn't change. Oh, well, some of it does. There's some real crazies out there you don't want to listen to. But the point is there is something to that point, and it could be reasonable. Like I said, it might be a place that we need to seek shelter and food. I don't know. But it also could be the other side of things. So look for yourself. Seek a little bit of understanding. Because they're just things we don't know. And it's better to know things than not know things. And over the years, like I said, I've heard the information on these camps. Do I know? No, I'll say it again. I don't know, but I've weighed it. I weigh who I've heard saying it and how they talk about it. A lot of it can be dismissed, but there is something certainly to the threat of it. And I don't know what it means. Oh, I say that again because it concerns me to pass on information. I've never been in the government. I've never been in the military. What do I actually know? I don't have knowledge, but I do see patterns. I've seen patterns over time. I've seen patterns over history. I've seen things and I've read things and I've heard things. And it makes me say, look out and be prepared. Now, I have been to Germany a few times and I've spoke with my relatives. I've spoke with people there. I've spoke with Germans in the United States. I've seen the internment camps. Now, I'm not a Jew. I don't have that heritage, but I have seen what has happened with the concentration camps in Germany. I've gone to them. I've seen history. I've been that history person. I've read a lot. I know that surprises happen. Bad things happen all over the world, all over, even in countries where they just say, oh, it couldn't happen here, but it could. And even in this country, even in the United States of America, things can happen that would shock us. Some people are even saying that they're happening right now in the process. I hope not, but we do see that there's possibilities and there's situations that are not right. There are times when our government has lied to us, straight out lied, and it's not a good thing. And we have to be careful. We have to know that the people are, they're the ones who are supposed to be in charge of the government. We've seen the United States military training in large cities with helicopters, with troops in large numbers. It's training, yes. Is it good? Yes, it could be good. Is it bad? Well, it could be bad too. Somehow we have to think that there are situations, and we have to weigh it all. I have noticed that in the, what do they call that? They call it something about actor training, where they have character actors, that's what it is. And they call on people to be groups of people that the military deals with in their practices. And what do they have? They have groups of American citizens being rounded up and contained in an area and cataloged with their names and information, basic information. And what do these people call out for? Two things. One is we need food, and the other is we are American citizens. We have our rights. We need food, and we are American citizens, and we have our rights. Those are the things that they have the character actors saying to the military. So, let's see. Are our troops being desensitized to people calling out who need food or saying they have their rights because they're American citizens? Well, we don't know where the path is going, but we know we have questions. Maybe you have questions too. So many things we just don't have a chance to be aware of. We just want the simple answers. Besides that, we want things that we can look at and have the simple answer and go on. Don't worry about the 9/11 event. Don't worry about that because, well, the answers we've been given have been the easiest, and they are simple answers, but they don't seem to be true. So look a little deeper and see what our concerns should be. Some think that we should have a strong leader and depend on that strong leader. And I think there's something to it, but it shouldn't be our fallback position. No president should be our answer, not President Trump, and not if she were to have been our president, or not president, Hillary. Those are two people where we have had a lot of hope in those two people in this country. We don't want to have our hope in a person. After all, we know soon enough the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. We don't want to put our hope in that person either, whoever that person turns out to be. Apparently, we will look to that person to fix all of our future problems, and we need not put our faith in a person. We need to keep our faith and our trust in God and not a man. These days, it seems our country is more and more divided, and the division is not good. We had a division once, and we had a civil war, which killed a huge, huge amount of people in this country. We don't want to have civil turmoil. No, we certainly don't. I think of that saying, you've heard it, it's an old saying, divide and conquer. I wonder if that's not going on, and I wonder if that principle is not being used against us. It would be a real simple way for people to do things to divide our nation. But we have to remember, for all the things that are going on with our words and our lives, we are in a spiritual battle. That is the basis of all this, a spiritual battle that takes place on a physical playing field, on a moral playing field, battlefield you could call it. Right here in everyday life, we are in a battle. So, every day, you can have your preparations spiritually, mentally, physically, and socially. After all, we don't know what's really coming our way, but we do have indicators what might be coming. What might be coming? Well, I've talked about a few of them, but if you really want to know, look to the Bible. The Bible has all sorts of answers. And one of the things in that Bible is, be not deceived. Whew! Yeah, be not deceived. It's that one. We see all around us where we have been deceived, where people deceive us, politicians deceive us, the structure of government also deceives us. Yes, in every government it's like that. I don't think there's any exception. Deception. And what we want to do is see through it and see what the real situation is, and that I think is spiritually discerned. Get yourself spiritually oriented, and I think the Bible is the best thing for that. We can listen to the Bible on tape. We can read the Bible with our eyes. Lots of good things to do, and it is very important. If that book is our guide, shouldn't we be looking at it? Shouldn't we be trying to read it and understand it? Yes, Yes, we should. So the Bible is a good book to read. And that, of course, is why they call it the good book. The Bible. Read it. Yeah. I remember a story. It's a true story. About 50 or so years ago, I was talking to my grandmother when she was making dinner. She was an old lady then. But I remember that right in front of her, she was making dinner. And I said something about the quality of our food. And what did she say? She said how grateful she was to have pesticides. Oh, that was startling for her to say. And then she explained how when she was growing up in the late 1800s, that you could not get any Brussels sprouts that did not have worms in them, or worm holes at least. And so I still laugh about that. I think here we are in this day, we don't like pesticides. Oh, and rightfully say so. But I look at what she said. She was thankful that there were pesticides so that the Brussels sprouts didn't have worms and wormholes in them. Oh, that's a different life experience, isn't it? We have a different life today. We have so much to be grateful for. We live with so many benefits. I know we have troubles, but we have blessings, blessings, and blessings. And for these things, we should give thanks to God. There is so many things to be thankful for. Sure, I'm aware that there's potential difficulties. Lots of them. Lots of them. We have them physically. We have them politically. We have them in our personal life. But there is so many things that are just wonderful. And these things we have to remember. Sure, be watchful. Sure, be aware of things. But always be thankful to God for the blessings that you do have. We have to remember what is going on around us. Yes, we do, and that could be a concern. Where will we end up? That could be a concern. But we do want to remember we are and want to be one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. One nation under God with liberty and justice for all. Don't forget that under God part, because that is the most important part. So, let me just tell you, I'm so glad you tuned in today. And may you walk with God and may God walk with you. That's the part we really want to do. We want to have that relationship. So, thank you. And until next week. The Holy Spirit.